Good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Good morning, ladies. It's Sam from FreeKeen.com.
Hey, Sam.
Hey, it's really sad to hear people, you know, argue this right-left paradigm and play the, well, I'm on the red team, so the blue team is bad, and I'm on the blue team, so the red team is bad, while really it's government that's lying to them, misdirecting them, turning them against one another so that they can keep fighting and government can keep doing what it wants. Obama has already increased troop levels in Afghanistan by 11,000.
Right.
The mainstream media is not reporting on that because they don't want people to know it because they're trying to control and frame the argument. And Paula, you brought up, well, should we have attacked Saudi Arabia? Maybe we should just, well, I say we, I don't have troops over there. Maybe the federal government should pull the troops from Saudi Arabia and the other 130 countries around the world where they have military bases, you know, in there affecting local politics. The federal government takes, and through treaties and so forth, forces its policies on the rest of the world. Copyright is one example. The copyright laws, the drug wars, is another horrible example of how the federal government forces its will on other countries and makes them suffer if they don't. It's like, you know, government breaks people's arm and then stands on their arm and says, look, if you'll just do what we want, I'll help you. I'll get off your arm here. But, you know, Brazil is a country that stood up and said, no, we're not going to follow this. They did away with the whole copyright issue. And within, I think, a year, they were able to provide HIV medication to their entire population that needed it. But yet, in other countries around the world that are following this regime of the pharmaceutical copyrights and so forth, people are still suffering and dying and unable to get medication because it's so expensive. And it's no different with this swine flu paranoia that the government's trying to push on people. The people who take the seasonal flu vaccine are 2.5 more times likely to get swine flu. Kids are being inoculated in the government schools even though their parents are saying, no, do not vaccinate my kid. They're ending up in the hospital, and the school is just saying, oh, well, you know, we didn't know, we made a mistake. Well, those are their talking points. They're supposed to just inoculate them anyway, and it's destroying lives. It's hurting people, and I think one day people will wake up to see what's happening and what government is doing to them, and, you know, it's going to be some rough times if they don't.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Our time is
you're up.
You're in the music, so we can't respond.
Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Good morning. It's Ian from FreeKeen.com. How are you?
Good. You got a cold?
Yes, I do. A lot of what that last lady was saying there, I think, is fairly accurate critique of the government school system. And since she mentioned some ideas, I figured I'd throw one out. And it's one it'll sound familiar. It's one that I think bears repeating, because the reason why the government school system has little or no responsibility or accountability for the decisions that are made and the results that are attained for the costs that are incurred is because, well, they're coercively funded. So it really doesn't matter whether they respond. It doesn't matter if there's responsibility. It doesn't matter if anybody is doing anything, you know, inappropriate, because, well, there's very little that one can do about it, in that you have to pay every single year whether you like the results or not, whether you appreciate the education or not. And I had the chance, when I was out campaigning for Nick Ryder during the voting day, I had the chance to meet Neil and June Donegan, both very, very nice people. And, you know, that tends to be what you have when it comes to school boards, is you have a bunch of good people that are trying to do the best they can inside a broken system. And so really their intentions don't matter that much. How nice of people they are and how great their intentions are don't really matter, because, well, if they make a mistake, it's all right. We'll all have to pay for it anyway. Or if the costs go up dramatically, well, we all have to pay, regardless of whether we like it or not. Or I suppose we could always sell our homes and go try to live somewhere else where, in the, you know, they don't extract as much from you.
Well, I'm going to interrupt a bit. One of the things about keeping the school district separate from the city budget is exactly opposite of what you said, that voters can vote down the budget, wherein the city council...
Paula.
No. Right. But I'm saying, so that's one argument about why not to collapse the two, because
all of that is rearranging the deck chairs of the Titanic, because as long as your school system is coercively funded, nothing significant will change about it. Now, what I would like to suggest is that if indeed it is a good school system, and I know a lot of people believe that to be the case. Personally, I think it could be a whole lot better. But if it is a good school system, then people should be able to voluntarily pay for it. If you've got a good idea, if your program is good, it should be able to be funded on a consensual basis wherein people are paying to send their kids to school or they're getting
charity. What if I can't afford it?
Can I give you an example, Paula, to answer your question about what if you can't afford it? Because it's the most common example or the common objection that comes up. There was a study done recently in places like India and North Africa where they found that poor people, dirt poor people, were actually paying to send their kids to private schools rather than use the government schools because they were that much better and they were that cheap. We're talking about a few dollars a month. Plus, a lot of the private school owners would essentially, just to make themselves look good, would give hundreds of scholarships away to kids simply because they could afford to do so. So the answer, of course, would be voluntary charity and people doing what's right on a voluntary basis. Don't you believe that people will do that, Paula?
I don't believe that people will give out of their self-interest. I think very few people, like if it's not my child, then I know a lot of people don't bother to give or care about anybody else.
I mean, I think athletes and probably top students would get the best scholarships, if you will. But
so you believe that people are inherently evil?
No. I think most people look at their own self-interest first.
Right.
So if it means that I have to cut back on whatever it is that I would have to cut back in order to give a scholarship.
Maybe if that's the case, how the United Way manages to meet its multi-million dollar budget every single year? Can you explain?
Some years it doesn't. Some years it doesn't, but my point is...
But where does that money come from? If people don't care, if people are only self-interested...
No. I'm not saying nobody cares and you won't get money, but you could not guarantee that everyone that wanted or needed the money to go to school would get it. If you could guarantee...
Because you're afraid of that. You're afraid that you might not meet your budget. You're frightened that people won't contribute to the well-being of others in the community. I think the community kitchen is a perfect example of how that's not true at all, what you're saying. But because of your fear,
does the community kitchen
threaten people over it. Is
that
right?
Does the community kitchen get any federal funding?
What's that now?
Does the community kitchen get any government funding?
I know it gets money from the city. I'm not sure about where else it gets money from.
So why do they need money from the city if...
I don't think they do need money, but it's there, so I don't blame them for taking it.
But how, if there was enough...
The money is still out. You understand that if the city doesn't steal money from people, the money stays in the hands of the individuals, and then they get to decide what to do with it. So if they think the school is worthwhile, they would contribute to it. And I would contribute to a school that I thought was worthwhile, even though I don't have kids.
But you might be contributing to a... I had four children, so I was going to have to... If I went... I couldn't afford to have sent four children to private school, so someone else was going to have to pay for it.
Because you're speculating. You don't know what you can afford because we haven't had an open marketplace in education and the true competition and innovation that would lower costs. Are you all familiar with the computer business and how it is that year after year... the products just keep getting cheaper and more affordable and better. Well, education could be the same way. Healthcare could be the same way if you didn't have this coercive instrument stepping in the way, forcing everyone to spend their money on the particular plan that is designated by a group of bureaucrats. You would have that competition that would bring prices down. The money's still out there. It's just that it's in the hands of unaccountable people now who steal it versus the people that earned it. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay, thank you. Well, I just wondered, like, with teachers, if you had a private thing and you said, all right, I'm only going to pay teachers minimum wage, pretty soon you wouldn't have good teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how you go about that. So, anyway, 357-1290. If you'd like to give us a call in the last 5 or 6 minutes of the show, please do that.
Whether people would voluntarily fund school. I've been involved in several organizations where we've tried to raise money for scholarships, and I helped establish a scholarship for a GED student where get free tuition for a year. So I'm sympathetic to that people giving, but you can't count on that. You can't make a budget, or you can't say, well, you may or may not have a job, or, you know, how about if you have the amount of children, you just don't have the amount of contributions. And we're finding that this year. A lot of charities are complaining that people are not meeting their corporate
pledges. Not
pledging.
Giving as much as they used to. And right. I think that's happened with a lot of, I mean, we have cut down on giving a great deal. Not that we gave a lot, but we gave a little bit to a lot of people. And now I've just gotten so that I gave to the United Way what I could afford. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of it. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, there's other people call and I just say, I'm sorry, we're just not giving this year because mm-hmm. we can't. 357-1290, good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Good morning, Cynthia. It's Mark from Free Talk Live. And, you know, I just got so caught up in the conversation I had to call.
Oh, okay.
Be set free. Don't get caught. Be set free.
the paradigm that you and it's Pamela, right?
Paula.
Paula, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
You and Paula are working under is that it costs $15,000 to educate a student no matter what. And it doesn't cost $15,000 to educate a student because, I mean, there's an example right out here in Westmoreland that I've told you about several times. This is Seventh-day Adventist Church educated people for $1,500. And that's the, I believe, primary grades.
Mm-hmm.
So the paradigm that we're working under is it's not even fair to say how the marketplace would handle situation because it costs the costs for educating a child are so much higher. We spend the most on educating a kid, but we have the 50th educated kids in the world.
Right.
So what we're doing, spending money, isn't working. What we need is better education, and the way you get better education is by putting competition in the marketplace. Currently, public schools don't have competition because if I choose not to support my local public school, even though I don't send a kid there, they take my house away. The problem is coercion.
I think you're right in theory, but I'm just not sure in practice that it's going to work. But
it works in many other countries. I mean, yes, there are levels of, the people are in much lower levels of poverty. However, why wouldn't freedom work here if it works other places? Because they just can't, the tax collector, it's not worth going, sending tax collectors around to take a couple of pennies that some of these people might have to give for taxes. But, they still educate their kids. And 50 countries in the world have better educated kids than ours.
But there are many countries where the poor are not educated, and that's part of the problem.
Absolutely true. There are countries in the world where the poor eat the heads of other poor people. I mean, certainly.
Are you familiar with the book Three Cups of Tea?
Three Cups of Tea? No, I'm not.
It's an interesting thing. It's a very interesting story, but essentially he went to northwest provinces of Pakistan and started giving education. And it has a lot of implications for Afghanistan and Pakistan, but it's an American who started these schools and because they could not educate their people. But I think you'd be interested in that kind of a movement. I mean, it sounds similar to what you're advocating in terms of people donating and providing for girls who would not get educated in some of these countries. So one of my concerns about having the system you describe is it takes a lot of assertiveness on the parents' part to find ways for their children to go to school. And I'm not sure, unfortunately, that would be a fair shot for every American to get an education.
Do you think every American gets a fair shot at education now? I mean, if you've got a crappy parent, you've got a crappy parent.
Right.
Currently, public schools are turning out, and these are their numbers, not mine, 20% illiteracy from graduates. And you're not required to graduate in most states.
Right,
so
and actually a charter. Right.
Is not educating about 30% of its students.
Right. And actually, there was an interesting study in New York City where they did a charter school kind of thing. And these kids were raised like 3 or 4 reading levels. It's just amazing. And it's not because they spent a lot more money. I mean, it's exactly what you're talking about. But it was a fair shot in that everyone was able to go there, not because they could afford it. They went into the poorest neighborhoods where there's a lot of crime, single parents, that kind of thing. But I don't know if that would be possible unless there was some overseeing mandatory that everyone could have access.
Paul, it's certainly easier to go in and take people's money. I absolutely agree. I mean, it's all you have to do is talk to the armed robber. It's the reason that he did his work rather than going out and working for money and trying to
convince
people.
Leave it there. Thanks for calling, Mark.
Call in a month when I'm back.